Come on.
Should I go? Oh, okay. So we've had 7 games so far, 7 weekends, and coming up this Saturday, going to be our first weekend off, guys. What's on the docket? What do you got planned since we're not going to be at the stadium or doing a watch party or anything like that?
Well, Friday night, I am going to be going to the stadium because the Lady Red Wolves play. So I had to put that plug in, but that's for a later. But other than that, I'm going to be packing to try to move Spoiler closer alert. To the stadium. Yeah. Spoiler alert. Spoiler
yeah. So I get to go shopping all weekend. So that's fun. But hopefully I've had this thing hanging over my head for like 2 months now, something, a large purchase that we need to make in order to take our trip across country, assuming Northern Colorado actually has a stadium by the end of June. We were going to be taking a cross country trip to go watch our Red Wolves beat Amon Zide and hope to not get into a fight with his assistant coach, who seems pretty hot-headed. But
Why
I mean,
would you
I reached
get into
out
a fight with his assistant coach.
I don't know. It seems to be a thing he does. I did reach out to Northern Colorado to confirm, hey, you're going to have single tickets. And they seem confident that they will, but they did it vaguely. Like they're like our expectation is that we should have season tickets soon, or not season, but single game tickets soon. I was like, soon's not a very good response, but
yeah, I'm beginning to wonder if people are just afraid to give you details. Because this is, I've been hearing of other things. They don't want to give you specifics. They're being vague. So I'm wondering if it's you.
It probably is. They're probably afraid whatever they tell me is going to end up on my glasses. So,
and on the podcast.
Exactly. Like they're just going to look through and like, I found it. What about you? What about you, free JCG? What are you doing?
I'm going fishing.
For compliments?
Oh, that would have been a great time to hit the button. But I didn't hit the button. No, no, that would have been.
Soccer chat with two T's because we're going to chat about soccer, but we're also in Chattanooga, so it's like a play on words. And you know, Chattanooga is a soccer city.
Welcome to Soccer Chat.
Soccer Chat.
Alex, Adam, and Jeff all here. We've got lots of exciting things happening in Red Wolves land, even though the Red Wolves are going to be off this coming Saturday that we're going to talk about. Jeff's got a fantastic couple of interviews that we're going to play for you in a little bit. But first, we want to go back over this last weekend. Had a very exciting game for the Red Wolves, one that I don't think really finished the way that we had hoped, even though you wouldn't call it a bad result. So the Red Wolves end in a 2-2 draw. Initial thoughts about the game. What do you think?
You know, there's some draws you feel like a draw is actually a win, and then there's some draws where a draw feels like it's a loss. Generally speaking, at home, a draw feels like a loss. But this one certainly did feel like it turned into a loss because I felt like it was a winnable game.
So when you go up 1-0 in the first 2-3 minutes, you're feeling pretty good. But as we talked about in the preview, we knew this was going to be a high scoring game. And at no point did I turn and say, oh, we got this after 5 minutes. I did not expect for it to turn into what it did turn into, which felt more like the disjointed on both sides in the second half. But my initial impression is this is kind of what we expected. We expected it to be kind of a rough but not dirty game, and I felt it was that. I felt it was rough but not dirty. I felt there wasn't a ton of faking injury that you see sometimes when you play Greenville, but there wasn't that with them. So I felt like for the most part it was a pretty standard, you know, what we expected it to be. I do feel kind of like Jeff that we should have won it, though. I don't feel like a draw was what was deserved from that. And I think if you watch Fuego in the last 15 minutes before the Phantom red card, they also were playing for the tie because they felt we should have been winning.
Yeah, I think that's a great call out that as you went to the end of that game, it really felt like we were knocking on the door and there was going to be some cardiac Red Wolves magic And then I guess the league hit the buzzer for the referee and he pulled that red card for the perfectly clean tackle. We're going to get into that a lot in a minute. But to me also, as we were leaving the stadium, I texted you guys pretty much my thoughts was, we had a really good attacking game. The front line played really well, and it was probably the weakest performance of our back line. And so you can get mad about the red card to JCG, and oh, trust me, I will. But really, to me, that result was the fact that our defense had a couple of bad slips in the first half that allowed goals to get scored. And we've got 2 weeks to prepare for Greenville, and I feel like there need to be some pretty significant changes, whether it's the way that we approach, whether it's the people that we put on the field. I don't want to drag any of those guys down. They're all really good gentlemen. They all, play hard. But there are some people whose performances have been very uneven through the first seven games. We've got the highest goal scoring in the league, but we're giving up a lot, and it's leaking points, and it's got to stop.
So I was just going to say, you mentioned the defense. I'm not sure it's the defense that you need to focus on. I think you need to go one layer behind them. I think I'd like to know what it is that Tor has done to keep from starting, because there's nothing that is being done by Carlos to earn or keep that starting role. The second goal that was scored on him was right in front of us. You and I were both standing there right behind the goal. It dribbled through his legs, and it wasn't because it was a great shot between his legs. He did not position himself in a manner not to get beat between his legs. I'm sorry, professional goalkeepers should not be getting beat in that manner between their legs. I'm fine with you getting beat between your legs if it's a breakaway and you're spreading your body out and it happens to find five hole. Not when it's right there, center of you, ball centered to you, and you let it dribble through your legs like you're a 7-year-old in your first game in goal. So that's my call out.
I feel attacked.
Well, I got to say, I do think that Carlos had his better game against Northern Colorado. I think one of the better ones, but this was probably his poorest game. And I mean, it's how rare it's been for us to never have one of our keepers on a mention for save of the week or for on the team of the week. And it's not even in contention. And we're used to having really top-notch keepers, and Carlos has got moments of quality that I've been impressed with, but it's just inconsistent. So, but I'm not going to separate the defense from our defenders and our keeper, because they're all one part, and they feed off each other, they work off each other. That whole area needs work. I'm totally with Adam, and I don't know why Tor is not starting. But then I'm not going to give the back line a pass. But what I'm coming back to is I'm wondering how many available healthy pieces Coach has for our center backs. So that's why I am totally agreeing with you on the problem with the keeper. But I'm saying it's the other problem I don't think is, and I'll even say that's a bigger problem, but I don't think it's too. I think they're much closer as far as for how much of a problem they are. And I'm wondering if
Jeff, do you think if it was Trilk or Mangles in goal, we allow either of those goals from this last game?
Well, I gotta say, that's the one of the main things is we're talking about such a drop. Now, Trilk didn't start off last season like how he ended last season. He started off a little sketchy, and he wasn't even starting through the early part. He had to work to get that in, but he got to a stride, and Trilk was, I think he, by the end of the season, I think he was better than Mangles, and I never thought I would say that. But they also had that, they were so much aware of the pitch and what was going on. They could see the big picture, and that's why I wasn't as nervous when they were going free range and they're going out and stopping it before it gets to be a problem. But I have a sense that Carlos isn't quite taking all that in, and he's not anticipating things as they are, or he's not confident enough to go out and get it. or yeah, I agree. If we had Trilk, I think it would be a different matter, but we would still have so many problems with our back line that still have to be addressed.
I think that first goal is hard to pin on any goalkeeper to try to save that. And it's created when Andres Hernandez tracks too far into the center and completely loses one of the most dangerous players in the league in Viljan Bijev. Mm-hmm. And yeah, allows him to get to the line and put the cross in. And I just, the way that was coming across, you know, maybe Mangles stretches and gets a fingertip on it, but it's hard to say on that. The second one, and so you're talking about a 2-1 win. The second one, I don't think either of those guys allow through. I think you're right.
Yeah, I think you pegged what I thought might happen on the first one, that I felt like that was one that Mangles would be able to get during on the cross. Like, I felt like he would have gotten there at that point, because you saw him do that a lot, right, where he would tip it over to make it go further than they want it to cause disruption to the cross, right? That's kind of where I was at. But, no, I'll give you that there's a chance a high probability they're going to score on that first one, but I don't think they score the second. I think it's a win. That's where you lose 2 points there. And I think there's been other – there's nothing that said to me he's – and this is not – please take this – as best I can. Like, yes, it's a knock on Carlos, but it's not a knock on Carlos saying he's terrible. He hasn't done anything to me to say this guy that we have from championship on loan should not be starting, right? Like, he hasn't played at a level where I understand why the guy on loan from the higher division is not starting. That's where I can be like, it's not like Carlos was this amazing signing. He was the backup for Tormenta last year. He was the backup for North Texas the year before. We bring in a guy who's highly, highly touted coming from a championship team, and to not see him starting, you would expect the guy replacing him to be on fire, which does happen, right? Like, a guy gets in, there was a small tweak to someone's ankle that was supposed to be the starter. The guy gets in there and he's got a hot hand. You never leave him, right? That I would understand. That's what I'm kind of getting at. I just feel like there's something there, but we can move on from that.
We've got a couple weeks where they
may hopefully, you know, get him some first team reps, and maybe we do see, when Greenville comes to town Memorial Day weekend, we do see Tor Saunders between the pipes. So turning to the positive, 3 minutes in, everyone's favorite Soul Glow hairstyle sends in an amazing cross to Rafa Rensigan, who dribbles the keeper, puts the ball in. And everyone get right with Jesus, because we had a referee give a penalty kick to the Red Wolves. So what do you guys think of the two goals?
First of all, beautiful goal by Rafa. And yes, that setup by Aaron was fantastic. I think Aaron has really proved his place and has been really shining on our team this year. Rafa is the Rafa that was promised, that we hoped to see last year. And so he's being proficient. It's good to see Tanky on board. I would prefer to have a different type of goal from him, but it was good to see him take that. He was the one going to take the penalty, and he took it with such confidence. And I'm thinking that's just going to open things up for him a bit better. So, and yes, it's so rare for us to get a penalty, and of all people, it's Tanky. And I think that was good to see.
So, there was something about getting a penalty right after their keeper ran more than 2/3 of the field to celebrate as if they had just won a cup match, literally seconds later, and then get beat, even though he guessed right. Like, there was just something joyful about that for me. But the biggest thing that I really wish League One would start doing is, can we get an assist of the week? Because I feel like Aaron would have back-to-back assists of the week. Yeah. He had that amazing sliding pass in the game versus Hailstorm, and he had this just beautiful touch pass here. Mo Espinoza's probably got a few of those as well that he could have been nominated for. I would love an assist of the week, because that is something that has just been outstanding by this team this year, is how not only are they crossing and there's actually people there in the middle, which has been a frustration of years past, but they're crossing it into either a player that can run into it or right at their feet. Like, they're actually putting it to a player versus it just being a lucky cross. Like, the other thing that, you know, if you go back to that goal that was scored where you can hear the announcer say, I'm trying to remember who it was that scored it, Aaron Hernandez is crossing it. And he says, you know, or not Aaron Hernandez, I mean, Aaron Lombardi is crossing it, and you hear the announcer go, and nobody's, oh, they scored. I think that was Mo Espinosa's first score of the season, because he got so used to the Rebels crossing to no one for 3 years. Yeah. And they're not doing that anymore. And so that's excellent to see.
Well, added to that, Adam, is, yes, we've gotten used to some great creative play by the Red Wolves. But last year, we lost some key creative players, including Ricky and Markey. And so two of the most creative players this year are new signings that we just mentioned. That was Aaron and Mo. And that, to me, has been really exciting, the fact that we're able to maintain that creativity, but we are adding some nice finishing. And it's been some of the best finishing I've seen in the Red Wolves team throughout the past 4 years.
All right, so let's go ahead and turn our eyes towards the controversy of the night. It was, you know, late in the game. Let's be honest here. This is not something that happened in the 65th or 70th minute that completely changed the course of the game. I would argue we were very much attacking, but very late in the game. Mm-hmm. A slide that you could argue was aggressive, to say the very least, results in a red card that anyone who has watched soccer and has any grasp of the game would struggle to think that a true VAR review would uphold that as a red card. He's not on a yellow, so it's not a second yellow resulting in a red. It's a straight red for getting to the ball first, sliding through, and maybe his trail foot trips up the guy. But I have never seen that be a straight red before. What are your guys' thoughts?
I think it was the speed. I think it was the speed. He was coming at him, and that is what threw off the ref. And I think he thought it was a deliberate attack kind of thing, but it was actually Jose is getting there quickly to deal with the situation. And we got to watch it on TV, and he is lightning fast as he gets there, but he doesn't have studs up. He's going for the ball. He's going contact for the ball. But in the moment, I'm not defending the ref, but I'm wondering if that is what was going on in his head, as he saw how fast he came in and misinterpreted that. But that ref had a lot of problems in that game, and I don't think he was in control of the game. So I'm not excusing it. I'm just wondering if that had a factor.
You could read the indecision in his body on every call he made in the game, except for that foul and reaching to his back pocket and pulling the red card out like that. He doesn't check with someone else to say, do you think he got the ball? Because he obviously got the ball. Like, Jeff, you're saying he's going for the ball. Not only is he going for the ball, he gets the ball. Right. It is his trail leg that catches the other guy's ankle. And so, yeah, maybe you give a yellow because he was careless in having that trail leg come through. Maybe. Not always. In fact, it apparently is okay for the Fuego player to two-footed tackle Mo Espinosa. Oh. It's okay for Fuego player to literally fall on top of Mo in the box. And we have to hesitate and decide not to call a penalty. All of these things are okay. But sliding, and I'm sorry, if he's missing that ball and his foot is hitting that guy's ankle, I imagine it sounds a whole lot different. Just like when you're talking about baseball, you know, they call outs at first base. They understand the sound. They're not looking at whether the ball goes in the glove. They know the sound. You know the sound of a foot going into someone's ankle as opposed to a foot going into a soccer ball. And so, Jeff, I think you hit it on the head in that it's too fast. The guys that are refereeing League One games are not able. They're guys that come from high school games, low-level college. They are not used to the professional speed that happens in League One. And it's time for League One as a league and Pro as an organization that is supposed to be improving how referees operate to stop coddling them. This needs to be downgraded. I'm going to say this needs to be. It's not going to be. I've already checked with the team. They had it reviewed by the league. The league doesn't see anything that he did wrong, even though there is an angle on video that shows he's wrong in that Carrera got the ball. There's no, oh, maybe this or that. There is, it's definite that he got the ball. They have got to stop coddling these guys. They have got to start showing replays of controversial calls and dealing with the fact that, yeah, fans are going to be mad because this guy made a bad call. And eventually, he'll be inspired to get better if he wants to keep doing this. But right now, to just continue to reward them, circle the wagons, and protect people like this, it's unacceptable. It's going to ruin the game. It's going to ruin the integrity. People who are coming to Chattanooga to watch the Red Bulls are going to say, oh, I'm not going to come watch that. That's so Bush League. I'll just drive down to Atlanta and watch MLS, or I'll just stay home and watch Premier League on TV because it's, you know, it's ridiculous refereeing. They're not paying any attention and no one seems to care.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that could be worse than having that type of situation where you've got just no control over your game, you don't know the rules, you don't follow the rules, you don't know those things. The only thing that's really worse than that from a fan that's going to be casual is not recognizing it and not overturning a red card when it's obvious and you can provide replay of that. And, oh, wait, look, League One did that too. Because this, we haven't heard any announcement of the red card being overturned. There's zero way any team worth their salt's not going to reach out to the league and say, hey, this isn't a red card. And so the league is obviously upholding it. The league has a history of overturning red cards, so I know it's something they can do. So not only do you have terrible refereeing, you've got a league supporting that terrible refereeing. And you continue to do that, you're going to start losing fans who are just tired of the bullshit.
Very easy to say, this is not a red card. He receives a yellow. Take away the suspension, and we have an important player that we're going to need in a game that they're probably going to be highlighting of Chattanooga versus Greenville. You would think that that's, you know, a big game. You would want to right this wrong and be able to have both teams at their fullest capacity. But gosh, maybe there's a reason that they're not bothering to overturn it, seeing as Greenville's the next game coming into town.
Yeah. And the other thing that, just to finish the red card discussion, there's a USL Discord and there's a League One kind of sub part of that Discord. And they were discussing, like, have you seen that red card? And everyone on there is like, yeah, I don't think it's a red. It's probably a yellow, like all these things. And like multiple of them were Greenville fans. It's like, listen, if you guys are saying it's probably not a red, it's not a red because you are one of the teams that are benefiting from this because we don't have our captain for the game versus you. Like, and I kept seeing like, well, we don't, you know, I've only seen the replay. I don't know what was happening beforehand. It doesn't matter. That's not how the rule works. Like the rule for a straight red is not, well, you had some rough fouls earlier, so, and I never gave you a yellow card for it, so I'm going to make up for it by giving you a straight red. That's not how the rule book works. Like, if you didn't give yellows before, you can't now say, well, I'm pretending like I gave you a yellow 10 minutes ago and this is a second yellow. That's not how the rule book works. You gave a straight red. It needs to be a straight red offense, which this was not. Even if he didn't get to the ball first, it's not studs up and it's not at his ankle. Like he came through him and tripped him. Like that's not even a red card offense, even if he didn't get the ball first. Like if the other guy got the ball first and he took him out, but he's not studs up and he's sliding, that's not a red card. Like my issue is, even if what he thinks happened, it's not a red card. Unless he thought he hit him with both feet. Like, unless he thought he hit him with both feet into his legs and it's dangerous play, that's a red card. But that's what happened earlier that you ignored outside the box moments earlier when Rafa was taken out. So I don't buy that that's what you're thinking it is, because that guy came in two-footed with a stud up. So it's bullcrap. And I don't think it affected the final score. I think it affects more the Greenville game, and that's why I'm angry. Because the bad reffing of that game carries over to this game, no matter how good the reffing is in the Greenville game.
League One are a bunch of cowards. Speaking Agreed. Of which, since we're off, looking at the standings.
Everyone check your blood sugar.
Looking at games. Snickers. I just ate dinner.
You're good. You're good
to go. This is full okay. Alex. I'm me right now. That's why no one wants to talk to me. So we're looking at the standings. Adam, how you feeling about your Tormenta non-belief?
Still don't believe in Tormenta. They're going to finish outside the top six.
Okay.
So I'm a firm believer that they're outside the top six.
At other ones, I'm a little surprised looking at Charlotte, also up at the top of the table, tied with us on 11 points, 3 wins, 2 draws, 2 losses. Goal differential of 1. They have scored 11 goals and conceded 10. So Charlotte seems to be the place to tune in if you want just some, you know, USL after dark.
Yeah, it's Charlotte has surprised me. I think we were expecting them to go the way that North Carolina did last year. Mm-hmm. And
I don't think we knew they were going to get all these loanies from MLS.
Yeah. So they're a surprise, and I still hold by. And again, I've never said that I think that Tormenta is going to have a great season. They're a fantastic team. My statement was, I believe that they have made improvements, and they're one of the most improved sides from last year, because last year they were pathetic. And I could see where they have put the work into it, and they're trying to build. And I don't know where they're going to end, but I was not expecting them to be where they are right now.
So no matter what, we're out of first place after this weekend. Right, because Tormenta plays Central Valley. So if there's a tie, Tormenta goes ahead of us. If Tormenta wins, they obviously go ahead of us. And Central Valley wins, they go ahead of us. So no matter what, after this weekend, when we will all be on 7 games, the teams that are in the top six, we will not be in first. We will either be a point behind or up to 3 points behind. And that feels about right. We shouldn't be in first. We haven't played like a first place team. What's amazing is we've dropped a lot of points that we shouldn't have dropped, and we're right there within 1 or 3 points. That is a good sign for us, assuming we can get healthy and we can start playing like we expect ourselves to.
Well, I think it's also an indicator of the good part about USL League One is this is a competitive league.
And unless you're even Ford Madison.
Well, they can always look fabulous, them in Tucson. But they can, at any point, get, you know, you really don't know. Okay, we have expectations of how it's going to play out, but there's surprises left and right. And they're, you know, most of these teams are going to be putting out a lot of sweat, and they're, and it's really exciting to see. And I agree, we shouldn't be number one, but I don't think we should be too far off, because as much as we've let goals in, we've also have been on a lot. So we've got some more tweaking to do, but I don't think we're that far off from being the true leaders in the league.
So 7 points between the teams tied at first place and the last place team, Tucson, whose only win rankles us. And Forward Madison right now sitting with Union Omaha at 6 points, second from the bottom. With a lot of draws for the two of them. So very interesting. As we're looking at this weekend's matches, is there any game that you're wanting to tune into? I mean, I'm thinking Tormenta Central Valley, because they're teams that are near the top. Be interesting to have the comparison of Central Valley, who we just saw against Tormenta. And so we'll see what happens with that.
I don't know if it's just because I'm a terrible person. I like watching Forward Madison lose, and I expect the Independents to beat them pretty handily. So that would be fun to watch. Honestly, I'm intrigued to see what Richmond does, because Richmond's been really kind of hit or miss. So what do they look like versus the team in last? Like, are they really something, or did they just have a good streak to start the season? Because you know, they lose to Tucson, they'll go to 8 total points in 7 games, and that's pretty substantial. That would be 1 win in their last 6 out of 7 games. So that would be surprising.
That's, I think, the game rematch of the first game of the season where Richmond won 4-0.
Yeah. The one I'm interested in is the Greenville game at North Carolina, partly because that's who we play next. And you kind of want to pay attention to that. And both these teams are mid-pack, but you're seeing that Greenville, who had a horrible start, starting to chip back. So you kind of want to watch that. I don't know how I want to root for it. Part of me wants. I like a lot of the people from Greenville, and we've had some good interactions with them. So I don't loathe Greenville. I have a lot of respect for the team, but I also, for it would be better for us if they didn't win. So it's kind of a mix with that. And I haven't had a chance to really watch North Carolina too much this season. So I think that's going to be the one I'm going to watch.
I'm a firm believer in root for ties, unless it's forward, root for a lot with the other team to beat them. That's kind of where I'm almost always staying when it comes to watching other teams in League One. I want ties and I want boredom for them. I want them beat 4-0.
I have lapsed forward because they got passed up by Union Omaha, and now they've been passed up by Hailstorm. So I think that they are Madison's number three on the loath level for me.
Well, Hailstorm has no fans. They have a front office
run. They don't have anywhere to put them.
Yeah, they have a front office run supporter group that's begging for people to fill out a form online to join. That's also run by Linners and Woozers, which I don't know who they are. They're some sort of soccer Twitter feed. So they don't really bother me. Like their coach, for whatever reason, riled up their players to be a-holes when they came here. But I still really like Leo Falla. I think he's a great guy. And yeah, Marky's always been nice. So more power to him. Like if, put it this way, when Eamon Zai gets fired because he's not a good coach, I will not have any dislike for them. I cannot say the same for Ford Madison and their fan base.
All right. Fair enough. But yeah, I'm going to see what happens with North Carolina in Greenville. Partly, I want to see what North Carolina is made of. And I'm still trying to figure out what team is Greenville going to be this year, because they've shown flashes of brilliance and shown flashes of non-brilliance.
Also, not League One, but Saturday evening, kicking off at about 8:30. Our good friends Jonathan Ricketts and Ricky Ruiz with Rio Grande Valley are going to be taking on San Diego Loyal. So nice. Check that good one deal out on ESPN Plus while you got time.
All right, so last Red Bulls question before we get to our interviews. And then we're going to start with you, Alex, because you very rarely get to start. Which new signing so far for the Red Bulls has been, in your opinion, the best?
I think this is a very interesting debate. I think there's probably pretty clearly two people that the three of us are thinking of when we bring this up. And I am going to give it to Aaron Lombardi. You were wondering who we were going to have as a replacement for Jonathan Ricketts, who could get up and down the field and do all of that. And I think he has been able to do offensively, defensively, everything that we wanted from a left back and what Coach Obleda has wanted. And I think he's been really impressive. Someone that I don't think anyone knew anything about when he came. He played some Serie D, was from University of San Francisco out there in California. So he was not very well known. He's just another one of those people that Coach Obleda spots and brings in, and man, they impress.
Yeah, I think the other person in contention has got to be Mo Espinoza. And it's interesting we mentioned these two, and we also mentioned Ricky and Ricketts. And they're not complete swaps, but they're both are interestingly filling a lot of those same roles. Mo, I think, has shown a lot of agility and speed. He didn't look like he'd be as fast as he is. And he has also shown, I think, a lot of tenacity. But I got to agree with Alex, and I think it's Aaron Lombardi, has just nudged it just enough and is such coming out of nowhere. He just comes back out. How do I word this? What he's doing on left back, even if our right back looks good, he makes him look bad because he's doing so much on that left back role. And he could get up that pitch so fast. And I think that may be one of the reasons why we're seeing Rafa really come alive, is because Aaron is working, is feeding him. So
I agree with both of those selections. I would actually probably go with Mo because of the fact that he's a trialist that came on. He earned his way on through a trialist, and that is really makes him the best signing, because he not only was he that diamond in the rough type that Coach Obleda has proven to be able to find, but he brought him. He took the extra effort of making a point of being here. He played last year for a NISA team in California, mm-hmm. So he came out to Chattanooga. It's not like he's like a Dalton guy or a guy who played school ball in Atlanta or in Knoxville. He earned this himself and got his position. I think the only other person that could have possibly been talked about in this would be DJ Benton, who I think has also had a pretty quiet quality season so far. But I think I think those other two are definitely our top two, and I think DJ would come in third, in my opinion.
I agree. I think DJ has shown a lot of quality, and he's still. I predict that by the end of the season, we're going to be seeing him grow a lot. And these flashes, he's had flashes of some brilliant play, but he's had some flashes of some questionable play. And I think by the end of the season, he's going to have this all seasoned out. Even though he's played USL League One for a while, I think this is going to be a great season for him.
Alrighty. Well, it's time to turn to our interview segments. So, Jeff, you were the one running the interviews here. What do you have for us?
Well, it's actually one interview. I've got two of them on there, but with the wonders of the internet. I start off with Gretchen, and then we're going to go ahead and Coach Luke Winter joins in. And we have the first match ever for the USLW. A home match for the Lady Red Wolves. Same team, new league, new stakes. And I'll let Gretchen tell you what's coming up.
That would be Red Wolves president and GM Gretchen Hamill.
Yeah, that I mentioned. I mentioned that in the interview and you spoiled it. All right, this is Wolfman Jeff here with Soccer Chat, and I am with my very good friend, Gretchen Hamill. Hi, Gretchen, how you doing?
Hi, Jeff. It's going great. Yep, it's good to be here. We are 2 days away from our first women's match in the USL. I'm so used to saying other letters, but yes, the USLW, USL Women's League. So we're really excited about that in 2 days. Staying busy, getting ready for that. So, yeah.
Now, for those viewers who have not had a chance to catch one of Gretchen's interviews, she is the general manager and president of the Chattanooga Lady Red Wolves. And so they've been in existence as long as the men's team have. Last year, they put out a fantastic show at CHI Memorial. This year, as you mentioned, we're at the USL League W, USLW. Yeah. Now, this is like being promoted because this is a tougher league, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, it's certainly looking that way. We've been playing for the last couple of years, and you know, there's never been a game that's been easy for us. Right. We've always felt like we've had really good competition, but this year, you know, just by what we know about the other clubs and you know, the players that they're signing, I mean, we're going to have our work cut out for us, but in a good way. We're excited about the challenge. Like these players, they're like, I think nervously excited. Like they're so excited to really test themselves and really just to play at the highest level that they can play and have the toughest competition. I think they really enjoy that challenge. And so I think they're up for it and, getting prepared. We've had some really good training sessions and, really preparing for these matches. So yeah, these teams, they're going to be tough. But you know, we're excited. We're excited about having the good competition and testing ourselves and putting our best on the field.
Yeah, so we're in the Deep South Division, led by us. And then, of course, there's a couple of teams that we had played last year that also moved to W. You've got Peachtree City MOBA, some good rivalry we get to carry over there. You've got the Kings at Southern Soccer Academy over in Marietta. And then Tennessee SC Women, that's the same Nashville team as last year, correct?
No, it's actually it's another club.
Oh, okay.
They are affiliated, yeah. And their TSC, or Tennessee Soccer Club, is affiliated with a youth academy in Nashville.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a new club.
Okay, that's a new club, or and they're over in...
Yeah, it's a new women's team, right.
Okay, it's a new women's team, okay. So, and they're mm-hmm. in Franklin. So all of these, you've got two in the Atlanta area, one much closer in Marietta, we got one in Franklin. And then we've got some other teams that we didn't play last year, but one of them, if you follow the men's Red Wolves, you know we've got some history, and that is South Georgia Tormenta. And they're over in Statesboro. And the great thing about going to Statesboro, it's a little further drive, but going to it. So I think a lot of people like to go there and kind of go to Savannah while they're over through there. But they're a good organization. There's a lot of fight. Bring the Band-Aids, because it always gets physical against Tormenta. And it always seems to have rain and lightning for some reason. So
I think it's
Thor's favorite team. And then the other one, and this is very pertinent, because this is who's coming to CHI Memorial on Friday, is we have South Carolina United FC. Now they're they're the ladies' club for the SC for South Carolina United Bantams. Do they also go by Bantams?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they do.
All right, and we'll get a chance to visit over there over in Columbia, South Carolina. So.
Right.
Really, really good. You guys are going to have – you're going to hit the ground running. And within the first week, you're having three matches. You play Friday against South Carolina. And then who do we host on Wednesday?
Wednesday, we host TSC. And then we travel.
And then 2 days later to MOBA, I think it's Peachtree City. You go 2 days later. So no rest for the weary for the ladies. So you guys are going to be really busy with that. So speaking of the ladies, I'm pretty excited. Now, Coach Winter has put together a wonderful side again this year. We've got some returning players. We've got some brand new players. And I think we even have a few that played with us a few years back that have come back. I noticed you've got four keepers, so I'm going to put you on the spot here. Are you going to have an A and B team that's playing like you did last year?
A team? Like, did you say a team?
Yeah. In other words, last year you had like a B team that also played.
A U21?
Yeah,
We just have a prom, you know, just one team this year we moved into the USLW. We just felt like we really wanted to focus on that one team.
Okay.
And having four keepers, it is a lot. But we, you know, keepers is a very, like, it's a position that, you know, it's a position there can be a lot of injuries. So we want to just make sure that we have the best keepers around that are pushing each other and keep them our level high. And it's good to have good number of keepers during training. So not only are these girls, like, you know, able to play for us when they need to step in, all four of them, but they're also have the numbers of training that we need, to really have the best training, the training opportunity that we can. And then we've also got college keepers that need the training, you know, so there's just like, you know, a lot of good advantages for having, you know, at least four keepers to really have training that they need and what we need from them.
So speaking of the team, and I mentioned about of our players, we have another guest coming in here. We have Luke Winter, head coach of the Lady Chattanooga Red Wolves. How you doing, Luke?
I'm good. Thanks for having us on.
Well, good. We were talking about the keepers, and of course, for those who followed them closely last year, a big name and arguably maybe the best keeper in the league, Danny Kay, is back. The Canuck, one of two Canadians, and we'll talk about the other one a little bit later. So, but you've also got Molly Wheeler, you've got Maddie Fancher, and Brooke Alvarez. Now, she's local. She went to Dalton State, right?
That's right, yeah.
Okay. Now, looking on some of our other players, we've got some returning and some are brand new. So Lolo Sasane is coming back from East Tennessee University. And I got to say, this is, if you haven't seen her already, one of the most dynamic players. And she can just tear up a defense and then just go completely around them and change the game. A very creative player. New this year, Beatrice Curry, which I was telling Gretchen that is probably my new favorite player because she's from not Halifax. She's from Nova Scotia. Maybe Halifax is the biggest town. My daughter is I used to preach in the Maritimes, which is in New Brunswick, and my daughter lives in Nova Scotia. So, and I've been trying to get her into soccer, and I was hoping that maybe she could become a Beatrice fan and let Beatrice know how serious I am about soccer and Nova Scotia. I actually have a Halifax Wanderers jersey here, even though it looks like another club. It's not that other club. It's actually Halifax. Out of Nova Scotia, so I'll have to show that to Beatrice on Friday. Mm-hmm. You've got Kate Dirksy coming back, Maddie Farrell. You've got Alexandra Fletcher, who's I think a new player. Kelsey Keisling, Ashley Grant, Summer Hernandez is back. Holly Massey is now she was off for a while and she's back. Now she's from Cheshire, England. Zoe Mize is also Chattanooga, as well as Maggie Shaw. Her hometown is Columbia, but she's UTC. Jess Shepherd is back. Now, is she going to be captain again? Is Jess going to be captain again? Or is that not decided yet?
Is it frozen? I think
I don't know.
Oh, Luke, your microphone not on. There you go. Oh.
Okay. So I'll find out if she's the captain this year or not. Is it Jess who's captain? Jess Shepherd?
You see me?
Okay. All right. Good. All right. So I was right about it. We didn't make it kind of. Yeah. Hey, you know what? Making it awkward pauses is very much on brand for this podcast. Mackenzie Smith. UTC. Hannah Tillett is back on midfield, originally from Indiana, but at UT Knoxville. And I think we probably have some other players that aren't on this list that are coming in. Are there any other returning players I missed?
It's a good question. I'm not sure. I'm trying. If I had it in front of me, I'd know.
It's okay. That's all right. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll have a chance if you follow us there on Twitter. We're going to make sure we're going to put up the when they put out the team sheets, that's going to be out through there. Beth and I are planning on coming Friday, so hopefully we get a chance to talk to some of the players there. So you guys were on the pitch today at practice. Coach, how are they doing? Are they ready to take on South Carolina?
Yeah, it's been a quick 2 weeks, that's for sure, with players coming in and having to leave for graduations and different things. But we're as prepared as we can be. We'll get better as the season goes on. There's no doubt about that. But I'm excited to see how they do.
Okay, very good. Now, this specific match coming on Friday, which is our home opener, and Luke Winter wants to pack it out. He loves the crowd because he knows that his team gets a lot of energy from there and feel free to make a lot of noise. But this team that's coming in, what kind of scouting have we had? So what can we expect them to bring on the pitch against us?
That's kind of the problem. With a new league and new teams, we know very little about each other. I know that they played on, I think it was Saturday evening. I know that the game was a tie, but the knowledge just isn't there yet for all the other teams in the league. So we've just been focusing on ourselves. Make them worry about us.
Well, last year, I tell you, we were a force to be reckoned with. One of the things I really loved watching is our pressing and a lot of creativity. I'm assuming, is that something that we're carrying over this year as well?
Yeah, I mean, the last thing I've said to the team tonight was we have a bit more of an identity on how we want to defend, and then the talented players in the squad, and just they have the freedom to do what they want as it stands in the attack. You know, so as long as we get the ball back, then we'll be good.
Fantastic. So from the supporters, what is it you guys are wanting from the supporters for this year?
Go on, Gretchen.
Yeah. For the supporters, I mean, like you said, I mean, we like a lot of noise. We like presence. We like fan presence, not presence to open, but the presence of our fans there in person supporting the women. You know, Bad New to Lady Red Wolves, you know, they get national recognition. They're considered one of the best teams in the Southeast United States. These women have something really special that this community, I mean, I think Chattanooga is very, very, you know, this is my bias, but I think Chattanooga is very blessed to have a team like they have in this women's team, considered the best in the Southeast United States of the country. And they are so fun to watch. Just like you said about Sinoxalo, she is such a fun player to watch. And we've got every single one of our players brings a special, unique personality to the field, and they're so exciting to watch. And this is a successful team. They have a great culture. It's a good product to watch and to get behind. And I think we want the fans to enjoy. We want them to come and enjoy being at CHI Memorial Stadium, enjoy being there, feeling like they're a part of the family, that they're a team and an organization that the community can get behind. I really believe that about this women's team. I mean, if you're going to watch, you know, of course we know women's sports is, you know, it's a little more challenging to compete with the support and fan viewership that the men's team gets. But this is a team that our community can really get behind. They've proven themselves year to year. And we love having the fans. If we can have consistency from our fans, making the noise, getting out there, coming and meeting the players after the game, the women players love that too. They love meeting the fans and putting a face to the people that support them. You know, and just getting behind us and being consistent with that, noise, the little color thing that you guys, the smoke thing, we love those. Like, it's exciting. So, yeah, just be there and give us some support. And I think we'll make you guys proud, too.
Well, fantastic. I know you can call the front office. You can call the office. I know my friend Ty, the ticket guy, can get you settled up. You can also get tickets online. And what's the webpage for Chattanooga Lady Red Wolves? It's chatladyredwolves.com. chatladyredwolves.com. And you'll get a chance to get tickets there. You can get season tickets, are still available, or you can get day of tickets. Now, the seating is similar. It's the same as the men, and there is no bad seat there. But right. I believe there's still options in that top seating. You get right in the front. You get closer to players. You can hear Luke yell at them, and it's quite a lot of fun. What other game day things would a fan expect when they come on Friday, as far as for what are they going to see when they come to the gates, or is there going to be the food trucks there like we have with the men's games and all that? I'm really asking about the food trucks, really.
So, and Luke, you jump in whenever you want to, but so for the women's matches, you know, they basically pull out, you know, the food trucks based on kind of like a percentage of, you know, the fans that we expect to have at the game.
Yeah.
And I do know that there will be concessions there.
Okay.
There will be, you know, like whatever the CHI Memorial concessions. I'm not sure what food trucks will be there, if there will be food trucks, but I do know that CHI Memorial will be having their conventional concessions part of that, which, so two big sponsors for the women's team that will be a part of the concessions at our games is Mayfield Ice Cream. They are a new sponsor for us, and that is obviously – I love it that you love that. They are obviously a national brand, and they have just come on board with the Red Wolves, and they will be selling their ice cream at the stadium, and their sales of that ice cream goes directly to support the women's team. And wow. So, yeah, so we want to support them, and obviously they're an amazing local brand. I mean, everybody loves Mayfield around here, and they're supporting the Red Wolves this year, and we're so excited to have them. And another brand is Brewskies, as a part of the Double Cola organization. Brewski is a citrus shandy, and they're offering a few different flavors of the shandy at CHI Memorial. But they're not only being offered the ice cream and the Brewski shandy, they're also being offered at the men's games, but they're also being offered at the women's games. So, so those are two specific concessions that, you know, that fans can not only, they're good products that we love and want to get behind, but they're actually really good to do. And so we want to support them, and they're going to a cause of getting behind the women's team and the Red Wolves. So I know there will be those specifically. And then I expect some of the conventional things like, you know, the popcorn and stuff like that at the women's games.
So when we win, I suspect we could get the Mayfield and the Brewski and give Luke a Brewski float. That actually doesn't sound as good as I think.
Oh.
I think I'd have those separate. You wouldn't want to mix those two up, maybe. I don't know.
You're really thinking, though. That's creative. That's a good thought. That actually might be good together. Vanilla Mayfield ice cream with a Brewski, like blood orange shandy. That sounds really good.
There we go. All right. Hey, I know you guys just came off practice. You guys are doing fantastic. We're so looking forward to Friday. Again, Friday, it's at 7:30 this time, not 7. It's 7:30 this Friday, CHI Memorial. Get your tickets now. Come out. Wear red. Be loud. And they will put on quite a show. Hey, thanks for joining us here on Soccer Chat. We'll see you Friday.
Thank you.
Thanks. See ya.
All right. See you later.
You want to
just... All right. Well...
What are we doing?
That was really awkward while we were doing the interview. Adam got really upset and just stormed off.
I heard he was going to go off and get tickets for this the season for the Lady Red Wolves.
I'm hoping he comes back to next week's show. Okay.
Otherwise, we got to work.
Yeah, tell me about it. So we had our talk with Gretchen and Luke. We've got the game coming up Friday. We're planning on being in attendance as well, as you've talked about, Jeff. So USLW is very new, but there are some teams in this league that anyone who's been at previous Lady Red Wolves games would be familiar with. Teams like Peachtree City MOBA and Southern Soccer Academy.
Yes.
And so... this game coming up, they're going to be playing the South Carolina United Bantams. I don't remember if they were one from the WPSL that's jumped over.
I don't know if they were. They were a different division. They're playing out of Columbia, South Carolina. And so they're new for us. And the
I think they had a men's team in League 2 against Dalton. And that's maybe what I'm thinking.
Yes, I believe that that's the case. I know the Nashville team is not the Nashville team that we faced last year. It's a different one. It's actually based out of an academy in Nashville. And so those are new ones. And new to playing the Lady Red Wolves, but familiar to us, is South Georgia Tormenta. There, in the next groups by, there are teams with Greenville and North Carolina and Charlotte Independence. So if they advance, we may get a chance to see them play against some teams that we see in League One. So familiarity, some coming back, and some new options. But I mean, the furthest away is Columbia, but you've got two in the Atlanta area, one Marietta, one in Nashville. So I think very road trippable, if you will. And so I think we're gonna. And then the great thing about going to South Georgia Tormenta is going to Savannah. So that's the thing we could do there. So that'll be interesting. But yeah, the game this weekend, it'll be a first chance for us to see the Columbia team, the Bantam. What we talked about was we're kind of in the same boat, but we're a little further behind than some of the others because The W League, much like last year's league, they do depend on bringing in college players in their off season. So they're kind of just getting in there, getting practice. Some of the league has already started, but this will be the first for the Lady Red Wolves. So it's they haven't had a chance to scout them, so it's kind of an unknown variable. But what's great about our team is we do have a little over half, maybe, or around half of the roster coming back. I mentioned some of them there. One of the biggest is Danny Kay over in our as our keeper. So Nicola Sasane is back, and that's always fun to say. Kate Dirksey is back. You've got Summer Hernandez is back. Holly Massey, who didn't play last year but played with us the 2 years earlier from Cheshire, England, she's back. Zoe Mize is back. Jess Shepherd is back. Hannah Tillett is back. So a lot of familiar faces. And yet we've got some new talent, including one, and I have proclaimed is probably going to be my favorite, and that's Beatrice Curry, because guess where she's from? She's from Nova Scotia. So off to see if I could show off my Halifax jersey, and we could maybe reminisce about how Halifax is going to beat Hamilton Forge this year.
Well, that's coming up. So the league is still semi-pro. A lot of college players coming in, like you're talking about, a lot of returning faces. That's very exciting. There's a lot of fun players there and a team that was very successful last year. So if they're able to kind of put things together and have a little bit of familiarity, it may kind of give them a leg up in the season. It's broken into regions. So they've got a lot of different ones, and we're playing kind of a Southeast region, and the team that ends up in first is going to go to a national tournament. So it's a format that's very familiar as far as what the Lady Red Wolves have done, but it's under the USL umbrella. It's going to, I think, offer a few more options. There is a USL professional women's league, so a second division women's league that's going to be coming online. And as the Red Wolves continue to develop the stadium and all those sorts of things, I think that's definitely something in the future that they're eyeing, trying to see whether or not we have a professional team here in Chattanooga for the ladies. But it's going to be really exciting. I can't wait to get out there and see what some of these returning players are able to do. There's honestly no reason to not head out and watch a game. It's very entertaining, very family friendly. Gretchen does a wonderful job putting on a good presentation whenever those games occur. So, Jeff, do you have it's hard to say, not knowing really anything about South Carolina Bantams, do you have a score prediction, since we don't have a Red Wolves game, a men's Red Wolves game to predict? What do you think the ladies score?
I'm going to go with 2-0, and I'm going to go with Summer and Hannah Tillett are our goal scorers. And I think that Sankola is going to get at least one of the assists. I think because we have enough returning, I suspect we're going to see a lot of that same attacking and a lot of pressing. So I think it's going to be pretty good. The only questions I have is we've got some of our defenders we got some coming back, but usually the names that really stick out are those who are more the advanced players. So we'll see how some of these, we've got some new center backs through there, but of course we've got Jess Shepherd leading the line in the back. So I think we'll be fine there, but I just want to see how we're doing in the middle, and our forwards are a lot of them are returning. So you're going to be seeing a lot of that attack there.
According to Lady Red Wolves social media, Jess Shepherd going to be riding high, just recently got engaged. So congrats, Jess Shepherd.
Yeah.
We look forward to seeing all of you on Friday. Wrap up the show really quick. English Premier League decision day. Jeff, do you have any faith at all in Aston Villa beating Man City and making it interesting?
Aston Villa's not playing Man City, or unless it's not the Sunday game. You're talking about... Oh, yeah, I guess they have a game before. Is it Thursday? Today's Thursday, isn't it? Must be Friday, because I think...
Was it not? I'm pretty sure it was Manchester City and
Villa. Let me go check. No, I thought Villa played one of those. Oh, it is City. Never mind. I was thinking Villa. Oh, no, it was today Villa was playing Burnley, and I thought they would take down Burnley, and they end up drawing with Burnley. And I thought for sure Leicester was going to fall to Chelsea, and that puts us a little more precarious. So you've got Man City doing Aston Villa, and then on the other side is you got Wolves at Anfield for Liverpool. We're sloping. We're kind of like the Red Wolves last year, where we're just sliding into the end of the season, but not in a positive sliding of the season. We're safe. We're not going anywhere, but we could at least keep eighth place. But we're kind of afraid if we're going to get passed up. So I don't, you know, Man City came in and I totally expect that Man City is going to beat Wolves usually. Now, not always, because we've been able to get on them. But the game of the Kevin De Bruyne getting a hat trick in the first 20 minutes was pretty humiliating. And the man is brilliant. Don't want to take it away from him, but that was kind of rough. Part of it was we're going through issues on Wolves right now, but I still have to point out that right now Man City is they are steamrolling. And I don't think either Man City or Liverpool are going to take this game easy. It's going to be pretty brutal on the West Midland clubs this weekend.
Okay.
Now, Chelsea, you guys even more are vague playing answers Watford. To
questions that I ask. Chelsea's what? Playing Watford. That game is absolutely meaningless.
I wasn't vague at all. I said Man City's going to take it, and I said Liverpool's going to take it.
So, do you see Leeds staying up? That's the other kind of big game. You've got Leeds taking on Brentford. You have Burnley and Newcastle, and that's really the other one in the table as trying to figure out. So, if Leeds can win by 21 goals, then they may still be able to move up. What do you think about that?
Well, right now, it's actually they don't have to quite do that. I think if Burnley loses,
if Burnley loses or ties, they
get into it. But they are certainly at the disadvantage. And this is Burnley and Newcastle kind of are two teams that play for draws. And so something really screams at me for Burnley Newcastle is going to be another draw. Mm-hmm. And Burnley is so frustrating to watch sometimes because they don't necessarily play to win. they play to not lose. Where Leeds is going to go right at Brentford. And I think Brentford can take Leeds. But I do think that Leeds are going to go out with a shout of glory. A lot of people were not necessarily rooting because they hate Everton. I think it was the history that could have happened and they want to see something historic, but they saved their tail today. But their last game is against Arsenal, which unlike what Adam was taking on, I think it actually is going to be a good game because I think Everton has a point to make still, even though they're safe in the league. I think they want to end on a high note because it's not been a very good season for them.
I think here again, now you have all the games kicking off at the same time. So if Arsenal is able to come away with a win against Everton and Tottenham stumbles against Norwich, they are able to slide their way into Champions League in probably the most glorious fashion, getting to jump over Tottenham as they lose to the worst team in the league. And so that would make Adam's Saturday or Sunday, I would imagine. But of course, he's going to be missing it because he'll be out shopping.
Anytime Tottenham loses is a good day for Adam. But of course, yeah, this game would be epic. And you know what? This might just be the time Norwich couldn't win when it mattered, but they have been winning recently when they've already been eliminated. So they've got nothing to lose. And so I actually wouldn't count that out from happening. So many other things are set right now. I think that's the biggest part there is going to be the Burnley Leeds and, of course, whether or not Arsenal and Tottenham swap. I think West Ham is safe. And, I don't think they're going to pass Man City or Man United. And Man United's way too far
from Arsenal. I think mathematically. I'm seeing that. They could.
But I don't think that's necessarily happening. And so I think all the others are staying where they are. there's a chance Arsenal can move up, but it would be someone would have to have paid off Vegas odds or cast some kind of spell with Doctor Strange to be able to pull that off. You can tell which movies I've been watching. Yes, it is. It is. It's very special. By the power of belief and believing in themselves. Also.
All right. That's all we have. All our friends in Biggleswade are in the off season, so we don't have a Biggleswade report for you. But we look forward to seeing you at the stadium on Friday. If we don't see you then, we will talk to you next week as we get ready for Greenville to come to town. Thank you, everyone, for your support for this little podcast that could. And we'll talk to you next time.
Bye. All right. So you think Adam is maybe still here and we just don't know about it?
I'd say that's possible.